Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Kind Releases, a new research report on sexual and gender-based violence in Central America. All lines have been placed on a listen-only mode. If you should require assistance throughout the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad to reach a live operator. At this time, it is my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host, Lisa Friedman. Ma'am, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thanks everyone for joining us as Kids in Need of Defense, or KIND, launches its report, Childhood Cut Short, on sexual and gender-based violence against Central American migrant children. My name is Lisa Friedman, and I'm Vice President of Regional Policy and Initiatives at KIND. Today, my colleague Rachel Dotson, KIND's Director of Gender and Migration Initiatives, and I will be presenting the key findings and recommendations of our report. This report was a joint initiative of KIND and the Human Rights Center Fray Matias de Cordova, a Mexican nonprofit organization located in Tapachula, Mexico. The report is based on interviews with migrant and refugee children, government officials, and civil society representatives from El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala, and Mexico. The report analyzes six key issues. One, the forms of sexual and gender-based violence that children suffer in El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. Two, the limited protections provided by the governments of El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala to child victims of sexual and gender-based violence. Three, the obstacles that children confront when seeking justice for violence that they have suffered in their countries. Four, how hard it is for children from El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala to gain refugee status in Mexico, and how few children actually do gain refugee status in Mexico. Five, the forms of sexual and gender-based violence that migrant and refugee children endure in transit or during their migration journey. And six, how difficult it is for migrant and refugee children who suffer crime in Mexico to receive justice. I will now turn the floor over to my colleague Rachel Dotson to present the main findings of the report.
Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for being on the call today. Just briefly on the methodology of the report, this report is based on research conducted by KIND and the Human Rights Center for Matias de Cordova in Mexico. We conducted interviews with 60 migrant and refugee children and analyzed case documentation of an additional 36 KIND clients in the U.S. All child participants were between the ages of 12 and 17 and gave their consent to participate in the study. We also interviewed 78 government and civil society representatives in El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, and Mexico, including judges, prosecutors, and police officers, as well as civil society experts in women's, children's, LGBT rights, and migration and refugee issues. We also analyzed existing research available from the U.S. and regional governments. We found that sexual and gender-based violence is a major driver of forced migration of children from Central America. Children flee their homes and their countries to escape sexual and gender-based violence, including sexual abuse in the home, intimate partner violence, and gang-based sexual violence, anti-LGBT violence, and human trafficking and sexual exploitation. 30 of the children who participated in this study suffered sexual and gender-based violence in their country of origin, and 21 of those children fled their country to escape this violence. Girls most often suffered sexual and gender-based violence, but boys were also affected. Our research indicates that LGBT children and youth frequently experience sexual and gender-based violence as well. We found that many girls in El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala are targeted for sexual violence by gangs, and that this violence includes kidnapping and rape, sexual harassment, and forced sexual relationships with gang members. Of the children who participated in the study, 13 were victims of sexual violence or threats of sexual violence by gangs. Six girls were raped, and one was a victim of attempted rape by gang members. 11 girls were subject to sexual harassment or threats of sexual violence by gang members. And one transgender boy was subject to harassment and threats by gang members based on his gender presentation. One of the most common forms of gang-related sexual violence is when a gang member targets a girl to become his, quote, girlfriend and forces her into a relationship of sexual servitude that she cannot leave. Attempts by girls or women to defy the advances of gang members or leave a relationship are understood as an affront against the gang and can be met with violence and even death. Governments have responded to gang violence with a militarized or, quote, iron fist approach to policing in urban communities, which has left girls and young women vulnerable to sexual harassment and violence by police and military, as well as gangs. Fear and threats of sexual violence by gangs limit the freedom of women and girls, freedom of movement of women and girls in El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. When girls are threatened with sexual violence by gang members, many stop attending school or even confine themselves to their homes in order to avoid contact with gang members. Even these forms of isolation cannot fully protect girls from sexual violence by gang members. In some cases, gang members forcibly enter into girls' homes to sexually assault or kidnap them. Consequently, many girls are forced to flee the country to seek safety in Mexico or the U.S. In addition to gang-based forms of sexual violence, children also suffer sexual violence perpetrated by members of their own families or others who are close to them. Several girls who participated in this study were sexually abused by family members, including stepfathers, grandfathers, and uncles. The average age of these children when they first experienced abuse was 9 years old, and two study participants were raped by family members when they were 6 years old. Children rarely report sexual abuse to authorities, and in many cases do not tell anyone about abuse for years because of fear, shame, or a sense of loyalty to their abusers. When children do disclose violence to family members, in some cases they are not believed or they are blamed for what happened, and often they are forced to continue living with or having contact with the abuser. Girls and young women also frequently experience intimate partner violence, including physical, psychological, and sexual violence by their partners. These forms of violence are widespread and highly normalized in El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala, and they are very rarely reported or prosecuted. Human trafficking of children is also extremely common in El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. Children are trafficked from rural to urban areas and across borders and also to border areas, where they are sexually exploited or forced into situations of forced labor, in many cases in agricultural or domestic work. We also found that children are often caught in cycles of violence that are difficult to escape. For example, girls who are sexually abused in their homes in some cases enter into partnerships or marriages at an early age to escape violence, and they end up in situations of intimate partner violence. LGBTI children and youth are especially vulnerable to cycles of violence. They often leave home at an early age to escape physical, emotional, and in some cases sexual abuse by family members. Many then end up on the street or in other precarious situations in which they're extremely vulnerable to sexual violence and exploitation. Sexual and gender-based violence has severe and lasting harmful impacts on children. Survivors of violence just demonstrate high rates of post-traumatic stress disorder, as well as depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts and tendencies, and self-harming behaviors. And some survivors of sexual violence suffer early and unwanted pregnancies and sexually transmitted infections. For children who experience these forms of sexual and gender-based violence in El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala, there are numerous obstacles to reporting violence. These include widespread victim blaming and normalization of violence, threats from the abuser, and lack of confidence in the authorities and judicial systems to respond to violence. When victims attempt to report violence, police officers and other officials sometimes refuse to take their reports or blame them for what happened to them. In cases of gang-related violence, reporting puts victims and witnesses at great risk, as gangs commonly punish those who report their activities with violence or even death. Those victims who do report sexual and gender-based violence face a number of obstacles in seeking justice. These obstacles include the fact that judicial institutions tend to be concentrated in major cities and are inaccessible to those who live in rural and outlying urban areas, the fact that victims are required to appear in person multiple times to advance their cases, discrimination and re-victimization by officials who lack appropriate training and sensitivity, ineffective investigations and prosecutions, involvement or complicity of government officials, especially with gangs and organized crime, and the fact that victims are left unprotected during and after the judicial process. Additionally, child protection systems in El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala are severely underfunded. These systems often fail to protect children who are survivors of sexual and gender-based violence from ongoing violence, and fail to provide adequate shelter, health and mental health services, and other forms of assistance. Child protective systems generally lack the capacity to provide protection in cases in which children are targeted by gang members. And in some cases, child protection officials cannot enter into gang-dominated areas to respond to complaints of child abuse or neglect, regardless of whether the perpetrator is a gang member. High rates of sexual and gender-based violence, combined with this lack of access to justice and protection, caused many Central American children to flee their homes in search of safety in Mexico or the U.S. Children who seek safety in Mexico face a number of obstacles. Despite the fact that many of the children who migrate through Mexico are fleeing violence, less than 1% of all children apprehended in Mexico receive refugee status. Four major obstacles exist for children seeking protection in Mexico. The first is the lack of capacity of Mexico's refugee system, COMAR. the number of people seeking refugee status in Mexico has risen dramatically over the past few years. And in 2016, 8,788 people applied for refugee status in Mexico. Mexico's refugee agency, COMAR, has only 3 offices and 29 trained refugee officials to hear cases in the entire country. The second obstacle is lack of information. Mexican government officials charged with informing children of their right to seek refugee status in Mexico often fail to do so in a way that is clear and understandable to children. Third, children face a lack of access to legal assistance during the asylum process. The fourth major obstacle for children to seeking refugee status in Mexico is prolonged detention. When children seek refugee status in Mexico, they are generally detained in closed-door facilities for 3 months or longer while their claim is processed. The prospect of extended detention causes many children to decide not to seek refugee status in Mexico or to drop their claims and return home before a resolution is reached. When these children are returning to situations of violence and persecution, including sexual and gender-based violence, many have no choice but to immediately remigrate to seek safety. In addition to facing violence in their countries of origin, unaccompanied children, and especially girls and LGBT children and youth, experience multiple forms of sexual and gender-based violence during their migration through Central America and Mexico. Children face rape and sexual assault and are often forced or coerced into having sexual relations in exchange for food, shelter, or protection. Perpetrators of this violence include smugglers, human traffickers, and other migrants, as well as police and other officials. In some cases, smugglers threaten to abandon girls if they do not have sexual relations with them, or tell girls that the money paid for their trip has run out and they will have to, quote, pay for the rest of their trip by having sexual relations with a smuggler. Children are also forced into situations of human trafficking and sexual or labor exploitation during their migration journeys. Central American girls who are victims of exploitative labor in Mexico frequently perform domestic work in homes where they are expected to work very long hours for little pay, and some of these girls face sexual abuse by their employers. Additionally, in recent years, Mexico has increased its immigration enforcement efforts, especially near the southern border. Intensified immigration enforcement has caused children and other migrants and refugees to seek out more dispersed and isolated routes, leaving them more vulnerable to violence. For children who are victims of sexual and gender-based violence in Mexico, they very rarely report these crimes or seek assistance due to 3 main factors. First, many migrants, including children, lack knowledge of their rights in Mexico and how and where to make a report and seek assistance. Second, many migrants do not trust authorities in Mexico, who in some cases are involved in violence against migrants or demand bribes from migrants, and they do not believe that they will receive assistance or protection if they make a report. And finally, migrants fear that if they report a crime or seek assistance, they will be deported. In the rare cases in which migrants do report crimes in Mexico, including sexual and gender-based violence, they face major obstacles in obtaining justice. Mexican judicial institutions, including special prosecutors for crimes against migrants, lack the capacity and resources to effectively investigate and prosecute crimes against migrants. In some cases, survivors of sexual and gender-based violence also face discrimination and re-victimization by officials who lack sensitivity and appropriate training and oversight. Additionally, police and other state officials are in some cases involved or complicit in crimes against migrants, meaning that it is not in their interest to thoroughly investigate and prosecute those cases. I'm now going to turn it over to Lisa Friedman to discuss how governments in the region and the U.S. are attempting to address these issues.
Thank you, Rachel. So briefly, I'm going to address actually U.S. foreign assistance to the region and then talk about some of our main recommendations in the report, and then we will open it up to questions. The United States, U.S. foreign assistance to El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala supports important violence prevention and response initiatives. However, the efforts only reach limited areas of the country and limited numbers of people, and they do not have a deep enough gender focus. There are 2 main takeaways about U.S. foreign assistance to Central America I want to emphasize. First, assistance is critical to addressing the root causes of migration. The U.S. provided nearly $750 million in foreign assistance to Central America in fiscal year 2015. This type of assistance has supported justice sector reforms, including reforms specific to the needs of survivors
survivors of sexual and gender-based violence. These types of reforms included, just as a couple examples, 24-hour courts in Guatemala City to hear cases of violence against women, and comprehensive victim assistance centers in El Salvador to address the range of needs that survivors have all under one roof. Second, long-term and greater assistance is needed to meaningfully address the rampant sexual and gender-based violence and other violence forcing children from El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala to migrate. U.S. assistance to address violence as a root cause of migration from Central America has been successful for the limited numbers of individuals benefiting from this assistance, but the efforts are small scale. In addition, assistance has not had a deep focus on prevention of sexual and gender-based violence. Efforts must be scaled up and include a gender-based violence prevention focus in order to end violence and hold perpetrators accountable. That segues perfectly to our main recommendations, and we have a very comprehensive list of recommendations in the report, so I'm just really touching on some of the key ones. To the governments of El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala, we recommend increasing resources dedicated to investigating and prosecuting sexual and gender-based violence-related crimes and expanding specialized units within prosecutors, police, judges focused on gender-based violence. Investing in programs that provide comprehensive services to sexual and gender-based violence survivors, including shelter, health care, psychological, and legal services. Dedicating resources to strengthen and decentralize child welfare systems so that they're able to protect children from sexual and gender-based violence and other forms of violence. Investing in community-based sexual and gender-based violence prevention and gang violence prevention and intervention programming. To the government of Mexico, we recommend increasing access to refugee protection for children by strengthening Mexico's refugee processing system, improving screening of migrant children for protection needs, and ensuring that children are informed of the right they have to seek asylum in Mexico. Conducting best interest determinations prior to deportation of any child, consistent with Mexican law. Ending the detention of migrant children in immigration detention facilities, and instead creating and funding alternatives to detention that provide access to health, education, and other critical support services. And finally, to Mexico, improving access to justice for migrant children who are survivors of sexual and gender-based violence in that country by increasing the capacity of judicial institutions to identify, investigate, and prosecute crimes against migrants and to provide specialized attention to survivors. To the government of the United States, the government of the United States should commit to substantial and long-term foreign assistance to El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala to prevent and address sexual and gender-based violence and gang violence, as well as other root causes of migration. For fiscal year 2018, Congress should approve foreign aid to Central America at a minimum at the same level of fiscal year that approved as fiscal year 2016. The U.S. should focus assistance to Mexico on strengthening its own refugee system and capacity to adjudicate cases consistent with international law, and should increase funding to United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees in Mexico to support its own work to strengthen Mexico's refugee system. And finally, the United States should and must recognize as legitimate claims for asylum and refugee protection cases involving sexual and gender-based violence by gangs, within families, and among and in other circumstances. And we would now like to open the floor to questions.
The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you're using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Please hold while we poll for questions. And there appears to be no questions in the queue. Oh, we do have one question from Pilar Marrero from La Opinion. Pilar, state your question.
Yeah. Recently, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly here in the United States said that the system where kids are taken to kids who come to the United States unaccompanied are put through is a big It's a huge scam. That's how he defined it. And he even talked about families engaging in trafficking. How do you react to that? And how does that harm the future of these kids?
Kind actually issued a statement on that because of our real concern about Secretary Kelly's approach. The children that are coming to the United States, we know from our interviews for this report, we know from our legal work with children seeking protection in the United States, are coming for legitimate protection needs. The violence is real. They're escaping incredibly dangerous situations, including the sexual and gender-based violence that we just discussed, including other types of violence like forced recruitment from gangs, child abuse in the home. And as we talked about on this call and found in our study, there is a real failure of protection by under Guatemala. We need child welfare systems and judicial systems to protect them. And so those, they're coming for real and legitimate protection needs. And the United States has obligations under international and our own domestic laws to make asylum available. And so to talk about, we would just completely reject and disagree with the characterization that these children are coming for any fraudulent reason or for any non-legitimate reason. And urge the United States, like I was saying, to recognize the protection needs and this really is a refugee crisis that we're talking about.
Thanks.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. And there appears to be no questions in the queue.
Great. Well, if there are no more questions, I think we'll wrap up the telebriefing. This is Alex Pender at Kind. I will send around a link to the recording once it's posted, as well as a link to the full report and the executive summaries with the full list of recommendations. It is on our website under the resources section if you want to check it out. And please feel free to reach out to myself or Megan McKenna on email if you are interested in or have any additional questions. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. This does conclude today's teleconference. We thank you for your participation. You may disconnect your lines at this time, and have a great day.